This podcast is brought to you by Google Chrome. Increase team productivity and work smarter. Get proactive security with help from Google in every tab. If you're IT, choose Chrome browser for your enterprise. To download, visit g.co/chrome/choosechrome.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 18th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Clean tech startups hit the lottery last year, pulling in billions of dollars in funding to develop new environmental technologies. But now investors are pushing them to deliver on those promises. On today's show, our climate finance reporter Amrith Ramkumar joins us to discuss whether all that funding will be enough to kick off a green tech revolution. That's after these headlines. The information war over Russia's invasion of Ukraine is intensifying. Meta says it removed a deepfake video of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky from Facebook and Instagram. A spokesman said the video showed Zelensky advising his people to surrender to Russia. Meta's head of security policy said the company removed the fake video quickly and notified other platforms of it, though he didn't specify how many people may have seen it before it was taken down. Europe's Air Safety Agency is warning about disruptions to vital air navigation systems in areas around Russia. The agency said those systems, namely Europe's Galileo signal and U.S. GPS service, are being disrupted by a malicious party that's either jamming them or feeding them misleading data. Those satellite signals are used to navigate airspace, control autopilot features, and safely execute most landings. Meanwhile, the European Space Agency says it's suspending cooperation with Russia for the ExoMars rover mission, citing the country's invasion of Ukraine. The mission, a decade in the making, was intended to search for signs of life on the Red Planet. In other tech news, we report exclusively that Microsoft is facing an antitrust complaint in Europe involving its cloud services. Sources say the complaint filed by the French cloud computing company OVH Cloud focuses on the way Microsoft licenses its products, such as its Office productivity suite, and whether that makes it more expensive to use cloud services provided by rivals. A Microsoft spokesman wouldn't confirm whether the company had been notified about the complaint, but they said European cloud companies are building successful businesses using Microsoft's products. Amazon has closed its $6.5 billion deal to acquire the movie and television studio MGM. The deal has been under review for antitrust issues by the Federal Trade Commission, but the FTC's time to review the deal was put on a clock once Amazon certified that it provided all the information the agency had requested. Now that the time has run out, a person familiar with the matter says Amazon is moving forward with the purchase. Our media reporter Joe Flint says despite Amazon's overall size, this deal pairs up two relatively tiny players in the entertainment space.
MGM is the smallest of movie studios. Amazon Prime, well, it has, you know, popular programming and, you know, a lot of subscribers. It's not seen as being at the same level as a Netflix or a Disney Plus in terms of what they own, the power of their brand, that sort of thing. So that's why they feel that this deal should have been approved, that it's not going to really change how the business works at all. But I think the FTC's concern and lawmakers' concern is just the overall size of Amazon. And it gets bigger and bigger and moves into more and more industries. It just becomes harder and harder to regulate or oversee a company of that size and power.
The FTC could still challenge the deal if a majority of commissioners vote to do so. An FTC spokeswoman declined to comment. And the days of sharing your friend's Netflix password may soon be over. The streaming giant says it's testing a new feature that'll charge customers an extra fee for sharing their accounts outside their household. Netflix says sharing subscriptions between households makes it harder for it to invest in new TV shows and films. The company says it'll test out the feature in Latin America before expanding it to other parts of the world. All right, coming up, can green startups transform the billions of dollars they raised into tech that actually makes money? Investors are pushing them to. We'll discuss after the break.
If you're IT, Chrome is the browser for your enterprise. Increase team productivity and work smarter. Get proactive security with help from Google in every tab. Choose Chrome today. To download, visit g.co/chrome/choosechrome.
You may remember more than a decade ago, there was a clean tech investing boom, followed by a bust, that left many people questioning the viability of green tech. But last year, investors poured a record amount of funding into companies aiming to accelerate a transition away from fossil fuels. According to PitchBook, $45 billion went to green startups last year, roughly double the previous year. And businesses tied to sustainability that went public raised around $90 billion. So, how are things looking this time around? And could this record war chest be enough to help companies develop the environmentally friendly tech they've promised? Joining us to discuss this is our climate finance reporter, Amrith Ramkumar. Hi, Amrith. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're talking about green companies. That's a really big section. What areas specifically is this funding going into?
If you name it, it raised a lot of money last year in 2021. So there were nearly like 1,200 privately held startups that raised money. So a lot went into batteries for electric vehicles and for storage. Storage is one of the huge challenges for keeping wind and solar power kind of charged up so that it can be released when the wind isn't blowing and sun isn't shining, and doing this on a large scale so it can power heavy industries that need to decarbonize. But anything, again, alternative ways to make plastic, carbon capture, which is a huge area, and really a lot of future software that people say can manage the grid and keep all of these things working in the same direction. So a lot of different areas found funding. The big challenge for investors is figuring out what's real, what can scale, and where the hype machines are that are really kind of potential frauds or people overpromising. And we've seen some of that, and that happening among publicly traded companies, particularly those that did SPAC mergers, has raised a lot of concerns and gotten a lot of attention.
I want to dig into some of those points a little bit more. I mean, you talk about investors trying to figure out what is a legitimate and a good technology investment to get into. How do these companies deal with that pressure now that so much money is funneling into them? How do they prove that they're the real thing?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of pressure. That's the main thing, because a lot of them promised. They said, okay, we'll raise money at a pretty good valuation in 2021. And they said, we're going to build a factory next year. We're going to roll out customer agreements. We're going to prove that this concept works and can be scaled and bring down costs. And now it's basically time to prove it or risk, if you're a publicly traded company, your stock can fall and it can be much harder to raise funding. So a lot of companies are really getting steel in the ground. They're trying to prove their concepts out, and they're trying to really get validation from huge companies that also need to decarbonize. So one trend we've seen is like large automakers and companies in the EV supply chain are working to secure the materials they need and looking at next generation battery solutions.
Can you give us an example of one of those companies that's really benefited from this boom and kind of how it's taking the money and running with it?
One is Northvolt. This is a Swedish battery maker, and they in December produced a lithium ion battery cell in Europe, which was the first time that's been done on the continent. So Asia is the world's dominant region for batteries, and particularly China. That's a huge concern for companies in Europe and the US, especially automakers who want to localize these supply chains, bring down emissions, and crank out as many batteries as possible. Northvolt raised $2.75 billion in a single private fundraising round last year and has just shown the ability to really raise a ton of money privately and continue to expand because of the demand for batteries. And they're projecting to try to really accelerate their production from gigafactories, the huge battery supply like manufacturing facilities that Tesla and others use as well. And yeah, I think it just shows that there's so much money that is going into this space, and it can make a big difference as those companies work with automakers.
You mentioned that several of these companies went public via special purpose acquisition companies, or SPACs, and regulators have been focused a lot more on these SPAC deals, saying they don't give investors, you know, enough information before they go public. In general, how are these green tech companies performing when they've gone public?
So it's important to establish what a SPAC is. It's a shell company that merges with a startup or a private company to take it public. It's an alternative to a traditional IPO that's become super popular for climate tech green startups because you can make future business projections that aren't allowed in a normal IPO. So we've seen a lot of companies go public that way and then miss the projections they made just months earlier. And that, to your point, has raised a lot of concerns among regulators. Investors have lost money. But more broadly, a lot of companies that went public through SPACs really have just been hit hard by this broad sell-off in shares of tech companies and shares of like renewable companies because of this shift in markets. Investors are betting on interest rates to go up. The Federal Reserve and other central banks are unwinding the stimulus they put in during the pandemic. And so that's driven this huge shift away from tech companies and companies that are reliant on future earnings growth to justify the valuation. Investors instead are favoring larger companies that are more stable and more tied to the economy. So it is kind of this complicated equation where you have some companies that met targets that are exceeding the targets they put out when going public that could be overvalued, but they've really kind of done what they said. They're still pretty early stage trying to scale the technology, but their shares are trading at a third or half of where they were a year ago when not a ton really has changed except for the market environment. So there are some cases where people overpromised and people are accused of fraud. But there are also others where people are saying, hey, this really good startup potentially is very undervalued now. So it's kind of interesting how the trading dynamics have shifted so quickly.
Do we expect to see the same level of investment continuing in this space? And if it does slow down, will that hamper this goal of a green tech revolution?
No, but I think people still expect a lot of investment. So they basically expect a pullback from last year's historic pace, but still for fundraising to be above where it was before the pandemic. So they still expect growth and a lot of companies to be able to raise money. And so, again, there's just too much capital built up and dedicated to this sector for it to really grind to a halt. But people expect a bit of a slowdown from last year, but a lot of momentum to continue. And especially if the market environment changes again quickly, which we know it can, and if some of these startups that made promises start delivering, people think that could get the momentum going again very quickly.
All right, that was our reporter, Amrith Ramkumar. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from the Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.